I felt this afternoon that the Lord was directing me to finish what I started this morning. He said, "You mean you didn't get done?" No, that was only one page of notes. I have two more. It's encouraging, isn't it? We worship our work at our play at our worship. I hope that that's not true. Worship, by definition, out of the book Christianity Through the Centuries, says that worship is the upward reach of the human spirit through religious exercises that bring the soul into the presence of God. Wow. Let me read part of that passage that I read this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 26. I want to read verse 10 and verse 11, I guess, out of that 11-verse passage. "And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you." It seems the principle of worship here in this text is based in praising God for the blessings that He's given us, namely salvation. Namely salvation. That's what it seems like the biggest thing is. Talking about being delivered from Egypt's bondage. And you know that that's a likeness to deliverance from sin's bondage. So that's the basis of our worship. That we're saved from sin. My sin, oh the bliss of the glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to His cross, and I bear it no more. That's the basis of worship. If God doesn't do another good thing for us in the rest of the years of our life, that is enough for us to have a desire to worship God. But the truth of the matter is, He pours out abundantly upon us. My, the blessings that He pours out and continues to pour out and continue to pour out on Christian and sinner alike. Really? Worship is also involved in our attitude. Or we are able to worship because we have an attitude of worship. And normally, when we have an attitude, it comes out on our countenance. Whether it's a worshipful attitude or a bitter attitude, it comes out in our countenance. Now, I know that sometimes when that statement is made, that there's some people that put up their hands and say, "Uh-uh, preacher, you're not about to make me feel guilty because I don't smile while I'm in church. Just because I'm not an emotional person." And I've had countless people tell me that they are not emotional people. But then when I see them on the ball field or see them in the middle of the battle, somewhere along the line, they have some emotion. I know one man that was completely void of emotion until his wife was going to leave him. Great big fella, 250 pounds. Thought he was solid. He was. It was solid something, but it wasn't all muscle that he wanted to proclaim. He was a big guy. Yeah, big. Used to play semi-pro football. Big old brute of a fella. Just loved it. But when it came down to the battle, I mean the severe battle, when his very existence and life seemed to be shaking in the middle of that battle, suddenly he found tears. You say, well, you're picking on some... No, I'm not picking. I'm just saying if people aren't emotional, then they're not emotional in anything. And I'm not saying that you have to cry like I cry when I'm in church. Or I'm not saying you have to get excited like I might get excited while I'm in church. But there is a measure of emotion that we all have. I'm not going to judge necessarily someone who has less emotion than I do. I'm just suggesting that there are times when we don't show up and it shows on our countenance. You know, there's some times that I wish that I could just, or just would, throw away the facade of always having a good time. Always being on top. You know, that's the way the preacher's supposed to be, always on the top of the mountain. The preacher always has to have it on the right side. But you know, there's times that it just as soon, sit on the back seat as to be up front in the pulpit because of emotions. There are times that we do put up a facade and show that we may appear to be happy when inside we're full of torque. Turmoil and difficulties and the battles raging. And you say, well, that's telling a lie. Well, it doesn't always have to be that the circumstances of our life dictate to us whether we have a smile or not. Because the basis of our worship is not in whether or not the stock market is going good or crashing, but the basis of our worship is in salvation. And that is the free gift of God's grace. Whether or not I'm excited about everything else around me, I can be if I allow myself to be excited about that when it's time to go to worship. We worship in song. We went through a number of songs this morning. We sang a couple of those songs tonight. And oh, how good it is to focus in on the words to the songs as we worship Him. How else do we worship? We worship God in prayer. Yes, we worship God in prayer. The effectual prayer of a fervent. Yeah? Those words are written in God's Word, indicating to us that prayer is just more than simply expressing a desire in a non-emotional state. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. The effectual prayer of a fervent, righteous man. How about that? You say, well, you're twisting it. Not necessarily. Let's look at what those words mean. Fervent. What does fervent mean? Somebody tell me what fervent means. What you think fervent means. When you read that, what does it mean to you? I know it didn't give you much time to study onto it or think about it, but what's it mean? Earnest. That's a pretty good word. If I'd given Brother Tedros some time, he could probably tell us what it means in the Greek. Do you have any other thoughts on it without study, though, brother? Oh. If we'd have given him time to study, where would he have taken us? Great intensity, earnest. Actually, Webster says it this way, very hot. Ardent, which is passionate. Having or exhibiting great emotion. So in our praying, we should be passionate, we should be earnest, we should be very hot, we should be serious about our praying. Someone on the radio the other day, as we were traveling yesterday, I guess it was talking about prayer, and we need to be encouraged to pray. And he said, we need to pray, just simply pray. I thought he was reading from a Dr. Seuss book for just a second. He said, pray here and pray there. Okay, he stopped at that point. My. Pray while we're at work, we pray while we're on the road, we pray in the house, we pray before we go to bed, we pray before we get up, we pray before meals, we pray, 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 and pray some more. But prayer isn't just simply petitioning the throne of God for all of the things that we have need of, and surely we have a boatload of requests. We have a whole bunch of requests to make and petitions to make. But in the very same prayer, we should come to Him with thanksgiving, enter into His courts with praise, be thankful unto Him and bless His name. That's part of prayer. And that's the part that we must remember to play in prayer, in worship, while we pray. Not only do we pray or worship in song and worship in prayer, but we worship in praise, in testimony. Judges chapter 5, verse 3, I will sing praise. Psalm 22:25, my praise shall be of Thee. Psalm 34:1, His praise shall be in my mouth. Psalm 66:2, make His praise glorious. I still remember that lady that years ago, 20 years ago, it's been stamped with an iron brand on my mind, the picture of her face as she stood to testify just about every service, and there wasn't anything glorious about her praise. I've met some others since then, but I've known them a little bit better, and I've seen them smile from time to time, so I know that there is a smile tucked in there somewhere, but that particular lady just did not smile. Make His praise glorious. John chapter 9:24, give God the praise. Hebrews 2:12, in church will I sing praise. Psalm 48:1, the Lord is greatly to be praised. When we praise God, we are given testimony. We are giving testimony to something that God has done for us. Testimony. The definition of testimony is a public declaration regarding a religious experience or a declaration or affirmation of truth or fact. We worship God in song, we worship God in prayer, we worship God in praise, and we worship God in offering. I know sometimes we don't think of it that way, but I like to think of it that way. We can worship God even while the offering plate is coming down the pew towards us, and as it passes in front of us and our hand releases some of that green stuff into the plate, we can still have an ardent, fervent spirit and attitude of worship and offering. Psalm 96:8, bring an offering. Malachi 3:8, robbing God in tithes and offerings. Acts 20, verse 35, more blessed to give than to receive. We worship in our offering. And then finally, we worship by hearing. We worship by hearing. We can worship God by hearing other people's praise and testimony. I appreciated that, Benjamin, this evening as you opened service with prayer, making mention of somebody having the key to this service. And so often that is true. The key isn't always, probably seldom is the key found in the person standing here. The key is somewhere sitting there. To the service. Sure, it's a vital It's a very vital point of a service, the song leader. The song leader holds a pretty good key to the service in choosing songs that God wants, that He wants for us in that particular moment. I believe that. But also, when God puts it on a person's heart to praise Him in testimony, that could also be the trigger that works in our behalf as we worship God. It might be something that you say, something that has happened to you, something that has taken place, or perhaps a song that you request or feel burning on your heart that we need to sing. How many times has it happened that way? It's just been a few weeks, a couple weeks, 3 weeks at best, that Miriam suggested a song we sing, and it changed the whole atmosphere of the service. This morning, Sister Moore said she felt she needed to lead out in a particular song, and it changed the chorus of the service for the next while. You see, we hold keys. Now, I know that sometimes we struggle and we battle back and forth. Well, is it really God, or I don't want to be... Ooh, if I do that and it falls flat, why don't we just spend time and seek God? And if we're close to Him, it makes it easier for us to obey. And sometimes we still might fall flat. I went home a Sunday or two ago. I think it was just last Sunday. I went home Sunday night and said, well, there's two flops, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Didn't get anything done, didn't get anything across, and I just felt miserable. I know what you're going through. Been there, done that, and have a certificate. We worship God by hearing other people's praise and testimony, and we also worship God by hearing the preaching of God's Word. Titus chapter 1 verse 3 said, manifested His Word through preaching. And Paul said in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:21, by the foolishness of preaching. Sometimes it's a little too easy for us who have been brought up in the church, who have been brought up in hearing preaching and hearing the best of preaching. It's sometimes a little too easy for us to go home from a service and begin to dissect the message. You know, when you dissect an animal, it's destroyed. You can't put it back together and bring life back to it. And sometimes it's just easy for us who have been brought up and we've heard so much, and we go home and we dissect the sermon. And so when it's all said and done, it was a flop. The preacher didn't just feel it, but it truly was. When God has ordained the preaching of His Word to be effective to our heart. Now, I'm not saying that every time the preacher opens his mouth that that's food being forced down your throat. I'm not saying that in the slightest way or in the least bit. I believe that when we come to God's house and our purpose is to worship God and our intent is to hear from heaven as we worship God, from hear from God's Word through the preaching of His Word, that in that worship we're opening ourselves up. God, what do you want me to get out of this? What is this? Where is this for me? Where does this apply to my life? How can I work through this for myself? Now, without you putting up some kind of a barrier saying that preacher thinks that he is God's gift to the people, I feel very, very serious about standing before an eternity-bound people every time I'm here, realizing that what I'm saying could either build or embitter people that I'm saying it to. And I have no desire or intention of embittering anybody and pointing them in the wrong direction. It's a serious business to be in the pulpit preaching God's Word. And I don't take it lightly. I believe that it's serious stuff. But may God help all of us to hear as the preacher preaches. Sometimes he may, whether it's the pastor or an evangelist or sometimes even a Sunday school teacher might even step on our toes. And it's also possible that we would not really. We wouldn't boycott Sunday school class because of the teacher, but it might be easier to stay away because of the preacher or the teacher. Say amen, somebody. Okay. Help us. We worship God. We worship God in song. We worship God in prayer. We worship God in praise. We worship God in our offering. And we worship God in our hearing as we hear other people praise God together and the preaching of His Word. I love to worship God. Let's continue to do so. You know, we have been blessed these last few weeks of a very special sense of His presence in our services. Let's continue to see that.